Deham navarruceha Dukashroka bayavaha Vajrasya yato mrityur Acena mudakeyata Deham, a material body, na not avarurutse, desire to accept. Aham, I, dukkha shoka baya avaham, which is the cause of all kinds of distress, lamentation and fear. Sarvatra, always and everywhere within this universe. Asya, of the living entities who have accepted material bodies. Yata, because Mrityu, death. Matsyanam, of the fish. Udake, living within the water. Yata, like. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. I do not wish to accept a material body, for such a body is the source of all distress, lamentation and fear. Everywhere in the universe, just as it is for a fish in the water which lives always in anxiety because of fear of death. Purport. The material body, whether in the higher or lower planetary system, is destined to die. In the lower planetary system or lower species of life, one may die soon. And in the higher planets or higher species, one may live for a long, long time, but death is inevitable. This fact should be understood. In the human form of life, one should take the opportunity to put an end to birth, death, old age, and disease by performing tapasya. This is the aim of human civilization, to stop the repetition of birth and death, which is called mrityu samsara vartmani. This can be done only when one is Krishna conscious or has achieved the service of the lotus feet of the Lord. Otherwise, one must rot in this material world and accept a material body subject to birth, death, old age, and disease. The example given here is that water is a very nice place for a fish, but the fish is never free from anxiety about death, since big fish are always eager to eat the small fish. Palguni tatra mahatam, all living entities are eaten by bigger living entities. This is the way of material nature. Ahastani sahastanam apadani chatushpadam palguni tatra mahatam jivo jivasya jivanam. Those who are devoid of hands are prey for those who have hands. Those devoid of legs are prey for the four-legged. The weak are the subsistence of the strong, and the general rule holds that one living being is food for another. Bhagavatam 1.13.47. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has created the material world in such a way that one living entity is food for another. Thus, there is a struggle for existence, but although we speak of survival of the fittest, no one can escape death without becoming a devotee of the Lord. Harim vina naiva sritim taranti. One cannot escape the cycle of birth and death without becoming a devotee. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 9.3. Aprapya mam nivartante mrityu samsara vartmani. One who does not attain shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna must certainly wander up and down within the cycle of birth and death. See, another positive text and a positive purport by Srila Prabhupada. The material body, whether in the higher or lower planetary systems, is destined to die. So this is positive philosophy. We'll discuss a bit later. about the importance of this positive philosophy. Okay, so what does he say here? It just says over and over again that the material world is not a nice place. that's it. There's this joke here that people from Maribor make about people in Ljubljana. They say that the only good thing in Ljubljana is the sign to Maribor. So this is quite appropriate for the material world, because the only good thing in the material world is the way out of the material world. That's the same thing. And this idea about how life is in the material world is repeated again and again and again and again in throughout the Bhagavatam. It's already spoke about Lord Kapiladev. I was just reading about instructions of Narada Muni to King Prachina Barhishat. And some part is really funny. I'll not read anything, everything, but okay. A little bit slow. Okay. See, it's so exciting that... anyway, okay, I'll be a bit slower. So Narada Muni said to King Prachina Barhishat, I just read one text, that about the life in material world. He says, a man may carry a burden on his head, and when he feels it to be too heavy, he sometimes gives relief to his head by putting the burden on the shoulder. In this way, he tries to relieve himself of the burden. However, whatever process he devises to counteract the burden does nothing more than put the same burden from one place to another. So that's Narada Muni speaks about problem solving in the material world. You have a big rock on your head, and it's heavy, and you're like, oh, and you put it on the shoulder. And then the shoulder is, oh, and then you put it on the other shoulder. And then this shoulder is, oh my God, this shoulder. And then you put it back on the head. And then you're like, feel some relief in the shoulders. And I don't know if you have this experience. I have this experience when I was younger. We were carrying these big bags. We were going to the market and carry these big bags. And you carry it in one hand. And then after few hundred meters, you'll carry it, you move it to the other hand, and again, and again, and, you know, just, you just choose how to, how do you want to suffer. And, of course, Narada Muni gives the solution, and he says, the real interest of the living entity is to get out of the nescience that causes him to endure repeated birth and death. The only remedy is to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead through his representative. Unless one renders devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, one cannot possibly become completely detached from the material world, nor can he possibly manifest real knowledge. So Narada Muni said, yes, you're sick of this moving the burden from one place to another. Yeah, we have easy solution. You have to surrender to Krishna. Same idea with moving the burden. Prahlad Maharaj, he gives a bonus. He gives a plus. He says, he adds a bit. He says, O Great One, O Supreme Lord, because of combination with pleasing and displeasing circumstances, and because of separation from them, one is placed in a more regrettable position within heavenly or hellish planets, as if burning in a fire of lamentation. And then this is the interesting part. He says, although there are many remedies by which to get out of miserable life, any such remedies in the material world are more miserable than the miseries themselves. Therefore, I think the only remedy is to engage in your service. And so Prahlad Maharaj says that it's not just moving the burden, but when you move the rock from here, you'll have probably the head will hurt and the shoulder will hurt. You know, like it's worse than leaving it on the head. The more you try to improve, the worse it is. You know, like sometimes these medicines have side effects. So you have a problem. You go to the doctor, and they give you some medicine. And when you take the medicine, then you'll have the problem you had before and a new problem. So you solve the problem. So, yeah. That's just one of the many parts of Bhagavatam where the same ideas are repeated again and again. And sometimes we will think, why so much negative preaching, you know? Why don't they preach something positive? You know, like why always material world is a place of suffering? Material world is a place of suffering. Why always this? and where's the positivity? First, we have to see that these devotees who are preaching, they are pure devotees. You know, like we're not speaking about. Maharaj Nimi is a pure devotee. He's going back home, back to Godhead. So he's a pure devotee. Srila Prabhupada, who gives some details in the purport, he's a pure devotee. So why do they do this? You know, like because sometimes we have the tendency, we think, why don't we soften it a bit? You know, like sweeten it a bit, you know, like this bitter message. Why don't you put some sugar in it? Why do you keep it so bitter? And my understanding is that this bitter message is exactly what we need. It's exactly what we need. Because, why? Because we still have hope. We still have hope. We say, oh, we are devotees. But we still have hope, you know. Somehow, I will arrange the material world. Sometimes things will be all right. It's very practical. The devotees come to the temple for some time. And they come and they engage in some service. And then they go. Where do they go? I mean, there's many cases. I'm not going to say that everyone. But they go to give another chance to material world. Many, many. They just go to, let's try again. Maybe this time. So what do these devotees need? They need more preaching about how this material world is a horrible place. That's what they need, you know. And sometimes it's like that, and sometimes you see, we'll announce, today we have Harinam in Bled. And today, if by some miracle, it's 25 degrees. Today, it's 25 degrees. What is the first question, you know, the devotees will have? Do we have books? No. First question is, when is the swimming? And where? That's the first question devotees have. But practical, not we're not speaking from the books, you know. So, why? Why is this question? Because sometimes taking a bath in Bled Lake is more attractive. than chanting the holy name. No? It's logical, no? Taking a bath in a blood lake is more attractive than the holy name. So then, and then you have this nice verse from Nectar of Instruction. Srila Rupa Goswami says about the holy name that the holy name, character, pastimes, and activities of Krishna are all transcendentally sweet, like sugar candy. Although the tongue of one afflicted by the jaundice of avidya cannot taste anything sweet, it is wonderful that simply by carefully chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens within his tongue and his disease is gradually destroyed at the root. So this bitter philosophy is only bitter because we are contaminated. And it's actually very sweet. It's really, really sweet. Lord Kapila Dev's instructions about the horrible place of material world are very sweet. Narada Muni's instructions to King Prachina Barhishat are very sweet. Otherwise, why do you have Shukadev Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj, who are pure devotees? They are pure devotees. They are discussing, and Parikshit Maharaj, he forgets that they should go for prasadam. It's like he has 7 days left, and he's so in ecstasy that he forgets that, oh, oops, there's prasadam time. He's in ecstasy. So they are in ecstasy when they are discussing this. Srila Prabhupada, look, he's really blissful. He looks so blissful. And he's talking about these things. Because these things are blissful. Because they are... this is Krishna's arrangement. How wonderful he made this material world. So horrible that eventually it will get to our senses and think, okay, I give up, I surrender. I don't want to enjoy here anymore. Let's go back. That's it. That's all. So sometimes we want to hear some lila, and sometimes we put some sugar in this philosophy, you know, because we think it's not sugar. There is not enough sugar in this philosophy. We sweeten it somehow. It's bad, but sometimes it can be good also. But actually, the philosophy is very sweet, and this is the medicine that we need. And the rest is really additional, that the devotees sometimes crack some jokes in Bhagavatam class. They just to wake up, you know, like that. We listen a bit more to this bitter philosophy. Yeah, that's one part. Another part which is really interesting from this lila is that we might want to surrender to Krishna, and we will be tested. So we will be tested. Maharaj Nimi wants to perform yagya, and his spiritual master says, no, don't perform yagya. And he continues to do it. And then he's cursed to leave his body. So it's really bad, you know, like, you would think the conclusion of this text, of this part, is that if you do yagya, then you have a problem. And it's, in many cases, it's true. You know, from material perspective, you might have a problem. Why? Because this place is not full of devotees. Like, it's not. So when you become a devotee, if you expect a red carpet, you're a big illusion. I mean, if you're a bit wishy-washy and it's all good, I'm good, you are good, then it's all right. People won't be so much concerned. But if you become a bit serious, then there will be a bit of opposition, you know. Family will start to be like, what are you doing? Why so serious? Why don't you have fun a bit? And so on. And if you preach, I mean, if you preach from Srila Prabhupada's books, this bitter philosophy, because this philosophy, you can imagine, this philosophy is bitter for us. We who are supposed to be devotees, you know, like we're aspiring devotees. And if you go and preach this philosophy, you distribute these books to people who don't want to become devotees, or at least they don't think they... Then they will think it's bitter also. You know, like, we think it's bitter. So for them it's like, oh my God. So you can see that people really like us, you know, like they like us. We go and we sing and we entertain them. And they're like, yeah, nice. And then we give them some prasadam. They take some cookies. They're like, wow, these Hare Krishna people are really nice. And then we give them some books. These books on yoga and meditation tell you how to get free from stress. And then they're like, yeah, that's it. That's nice. Sounds good. And then they go home and read the books. And sometimes you meet the same people which you met and they were so positive. You meet them after some time, and they like, when they see you, they just cross to the other side of the road. Why? Because they read the books. It's true. It's true stories. It's I'm not joking. You know, like you can see some change in the conscious in the way they relate to us. After they read some books. And and some people are just somehow innocent. Some people are innocent, you know, like they are... they have heard so many things. Srila Prabhupada used to say that most of the people are innocent. Panchatattva ki jai, Shikornitai ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, yeah, Srila Prabhupada used to say, yeah, people are in general innocent. So, if you present things in a proper way, then they will change their view. And they were just presented with improper philosophy their whole life. So what do you expect? So for some... They will come and they will throw you a challenge. And if you discuss with them from logical perspective, you know, like, okay, but it's not really like that. Like I had this guy, we gave him a chant and be happy. And the next day I met him. So he told me, I have a book. Oh, good, good. Read it. Yeah, it's a bit sectarian. Why? What do you mean sectarian? Well, it's just saying that only Hare Krishna is the solution. What's the solution? So I try to explain him that actually about the soul, that we're all spiritual, that we're searching for spiritual solutions. And that his sport is not spiritual. Anyway. And then I explained to him, look, there's yoga means connection with Krishna, with spiritual energy. I don't tell them about Krishna. And then you have this system, which is also bona fide by Patanjali Muni of Ashtanga Yoga. You can go in the forest, practice this, practice this, practice this, and you can still achieve spiritual perfection. And then he agreed that, look, maybe this system is not so good for him, maybe it wouldn't work so much. And I said, look, so practically speaking, I mean, in theory, there are more paths. In practice, you cannot do that. So the only path for you is chanting Hare Krishna. So he nodded, you know, like he was not 100% convinced, but he said, okay, I will give it another try, you know, like to this book. Okay, I will continue reading. Okay. So anyway, some people are like that. They just don't understand, and if you discuss with them and you show them that we are not fanatic religious people who don't know anything, that just say Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Haribol. We show them, look, there's a philosophy, it makes sense, then they will be like, okay. And of course, there are these really demoniac people. And whatever you do, they will be disturbed. And actually, there's nothing more disturbing for demoniac people than distributing Krishna consciousness. There's nothing more disturbing for them. You know, like you can do anything. But we go to... there is this philosophy university, and the security from there, his looks like his purpose in life is to make sure that the devotees don't distribute books in front of his university. So, that's his purpose in life, you know. So that's nothing new, you know. Like there's nothing new. I was just thinking of. Just looking. Whenever I see him, I'm thinking of the instructions of Hiranyakashipu to his assistants. So I'll just read the text and the purport, because that's where you have the conclusion. Hiranyakashipu advised his assistants, "My dear demons, give complete protection to this boy at the Gurukula where he is instructed, so that his intelligence will not be further influenced by Vaishnavas who may go there in disguise." Hiranyakashipu is advising Chandra and Amarka to take care of his boy Prahlad and make sure that the Vaishnavas don't spoil him with his with their crazy ideas. Purport. In our Krishna consciousness movement, the tactic of dressing oneself like an ordinary karmi is necessary because everyone in the demoniac kingdom is against the Vaishnava teachings. Krishna consciousness is not at all to the liking of the demons of the present age. As soon as they see a Vaishnava dressed in saffron garments with beads on his neck and tilaka on his forehead, they are immediately irritated. They criticize the Vaishnavas by sarcastically saying Hare Krishna, and some people also chant Hare Krishna sincerely. In either case, since Hare Krishna is absolute, whether one chants it jokingly or sincerely, it will have its effect. The Vaishnavas are pleased when the demons chant Hare Krishna, because this shows that the Hare Krishna movement is taking ground. The greater demons, like Hiranyakashipu, are always prepared to chastise the Vaishnavas, and they try to make arrangements so the Vaishnavas will not come to sell their books and preach Krishna consciousness. Thus, what was done by Hiranyakashipu long, long ago is still being done. That is the way of materialistic life. Demons or materialists do not at all like the advancement of Krishna consciousness, and they try to hinder it in many ways. Yet, the preachers of Krishna consciousness must go forward in their Vaishnava dress or any other dress for the purpose of preaching. Chanaka Pandit says that if an honest person deals with a great cheater, it is necessary for him to become a cheater also, not for the purpose of cheating, but to make his preaching successful. So this is the conclusion that we will try to become devotees, and there will be some opposition. There we will try to preach, And there will be some opposition. And we shouldn't care about this opposition. We should go forward. And eventually we will attain this success. Because, as I said last time, success doesn't mean that people will like us, though it would be nice. Success is that we please our parampara. So if we please Srila Prabhupada, we'll also... See, Maharaj Nimi was didn't please Vasishta, but he pleased Krishna. So he went back home, back to Godhead. So that's our position. We don't need to please a lot of people. We need to please Srila Prabhupada. And if you continue practicing, and in spite of these many tests, which will be there, then we'll also go back home, back to Godhead. Eventually, in this life, next life, 10 lives, what does it matter, you know? Okay. I'll stop here if there are some questions, concerns. Okay. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.